about. So easy. You got to put it in
perspective. This is going to be good.
Do we really have to do this?
Yes. We're not communicating. We need help.
We're not communicating?
Yeah. We're not communicating.
I don't even know what you're saying right now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
As a general rule, things don't end well if the sentence starts, "Let me tell you something I know about the Negro." You don't really need to hear the rest of it. Just a tip for you. Don't start your sentence that way.
The government in this town is excellent and uses your tax dollars efficiently.
And now,
if I had a vagina, there would never be a time that I didn't have something hidden inside of it.
Our feature presentation.
That's an important note. Thank you, sir. It does seem like an awfully handy, just like an extra pocket that you can use whenever you want. She'd never run out of a place to put your keys, lady. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Good. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is the 14th of January. It's practically Christmas, people.
You don't have to tell me, dude. We're so fast coming up on 1/12 Christmas. It'll be here in 11 days. I miss Lisa. It was sad she died. She was so young.
She didn't die.
She was so vibrant.
She's fine.
It seemed like she was just here yesterday.
Yeah, she was.
And now she's gone forever.
One day.
She'll be back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's better. I feel
all
better.
Good.
She would have loved this story to get us started here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. It's about a dog. I'm curious to see what you think about this one, Kevin. It actually is a story that it happened in Seattle, but it has made international news. People all over the world are talking about this little dog named Eclipse. A guy's riding the bus the other day in Seattle, and the bus stops in Belltown, in downtown Seattle, not too far from where the Space Needle is. And the doors open, and some people get on, and then a black Labrador gets on the bus, walks down the aisle, jumps up on a seat, sits in the seat, and just looks out the window.
Huh.
The bus proceeds 3 or 4 stops down the highway.
Did the lab have a ticket?
Lab did not have a ticket. Lab did not pay.
Huh.
Lab is wearing a harness, though. 3 or 4 stops down the route, the lab jumps down from his seat, goes down the aisle, walks out the door, goes over to the dog park, and starts playing.
What?
Numerous people have seen this dog. It didn't just happen one time. It's happened multiple times. And somebody, a man named Miles Montgomery, decided to track it down. It really doesn't appear to have an owner. The dog gets off at the dog park. I just look out the window and I'm like, did that just happen? Another person on the bus says that she was the dog was most concerned about seeing out the window. I couldn't figure out what was going on. It was really just about seeing where her stop was. All the bus drivers know her. She sits there just like a person does, says commuter Tiona Rainwater. As she rode the bus through downtown on Monday, she makes everybody happy. How could you not love this dog? Well, some people did a little research, and they found out that the dog lives in Seattle with his owner, and the dog sometimes goes to the dog park with his owner. But sometimes the owner is not ready to go when the dog wants to go, or the owner is at the bus stop and having a cigarette and is not finished with his cigarette before the bus comes. So the dog just gets on and goes ahead of the owner and just meets up with the owner at the dog park later.
That dog does not need an owner. That's crazy.
Sometimes we get separated, says the man's owner. She gets on the bus without me, and I catch up with her at the dog park. His name is Jeff Young. It's not hard to get on. She gets on in front of the house, and she gets off at the dog park, which is 4 stops later. The tradition has been going on for a while. She's a bus-riding, sidewalk-walking, urbanized dog. Probably once a week, I get a phone call from someone who says, "Hey, I have your dog Eclipse here on 3rd and Bell, and I have to tell him she's fine. She knows what she's doing." Now, I looked at the story and I thought, this is a fascinating human interest story, and everybody loves a cute dog. We all know how cute and how smart black labs are. But isn't this a terrible owner? Would you ever let your dog go downtown by herself, even if she knew how to do it?
I don't. That's a tough question to answer. The first time you would be petrified because you
absolutely
don't know where your dog went.
Yeah, your dog's loose in a city.
But if you find her at the park then.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Maybe you go, oh, good on you.
But wouldn't you – yeah, I mean, I would feel great about the times that it worked. But what about the time that she doesn't get off the bus at the park because somebody has said, oh, this is an awesome dog, and slaps a leash on her and takes her home? What about somebody stealing your dog?
I don't know. Is that a big thing, stealing dogs?
I would certainly be concerned about it. I'd be terrified about my dog getting stolen if she was out there by herself. But you see this video, man.
She has a collar on.
She has a collar. She has a harness. Yeah. Huh. But thieves never buy things that are marked or steal things that are marked. It's a cute dog, though, and it is pretty awesome to see her sense of purpose when she jumps on the bus and jumps off the bus. I mean, it's not random. She does it all the time.
Dude, you could be watching a game and go, yeah, go to the dog park. You don't even have to walk your dog anymore.
That is correct.
That's awesome.
So hey, anyway.
Give me a beer before you go.
Anyway, if you get a chance, you might check out the Seattle dog taking the bus, because it is pretty awesome video, and Eclipse is super cute.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Who the f*** cares? Oh, my God, how f*** boring. Oh, my God.
Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
Love him. Jay Baruchel will be on the program today.
Funny dude.
Got a new show called Man Seeking Woman, Women. And that's a weird show.
Yeah.
That's a weird-ass show.
Yeah. And Jay's a funny guy. He's been in everything, and you'd recognize him even if you don't know his name.
I love this. I can't wait to tell you about it. Fired on your first day. We're going to take calls today. You showed up for work. Day one, fired.
If we'd have had better instincts, we wouldn't have had to put up with the last 5 years of Beer Mug.
Damn. Yeah.
If we just would have known, if we just would have seen it on day one, we could have avoided all of this.
Giant beef going on between Ralph and Brad Williams, comedian.
I have to tell you, I am Team Ralph on this one. I love Brad. And you know, I'm uncomfortable with midgets, but I love Brad. But I'm Team Ralph here. I think Brad owes Ralph a little bit of an apology. We'll see if that is forthcoming today.
We'll find out. We also have a man by the name of Don King, who you may not necessarily recognize if you're under, what would you say, 25?
Yeah, under 25, you probably haven't seen much of Don King. There was a time where he was one of the biggest names in sports as the world's premier boxing promoter.
When boxing was possibly bigger than UFC. This was the Dana White. And he can talk. Boy, can he talk.
Yeah, he's a fascinating dude.
We're going to say hello, and then he's just going to talk, and it's just going to go on.
Does he have any part, do you know, Kevin, of Mayweather or Pacquiao?
I don't know.
Yeah, because it looks like that fight might actually happen this year, finally. So I'm just wondering if that's another huge payday for him, or if he's on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They would go with someone younger.
Yeah, and more in control.
Right.
Highlights of My Strange Addiction. Boy, what a weird show this is, too. It's like these are people who dress up in full latex doll costumes that are women. So the face is rubber. The mouth doesn't move. They get boobs. They dress up. They have a convention in Minnesota. It's
very
weird.
Quiet convention.
It is. No, they talk.
Oh, they do talk.
That's the weird thing, is that the mouths don't move, but they're all willing to talk.
Okay.
So you're watching this weird plastic face move just a little bit. Behind it, they're going, oh, yeah, I like dressing up like this. This is fun.
Is it a sexual thing?
Not from what the show said.
Okay.
Not from what the show said. And they also make beer out of whale balls. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
What about our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning with Ralph Garman? What about that?
What about it?
What about
Let's
it?
Do it. All right.
Who's with me?
What's happening, Mr. Garman?
People still talking about the Golden Globes.
Okay.
Specifically, Jeremy Renner and Jennifer Lopez. Apparently, people are outraged at his behavior. Outraged, I say. For those of you who didn't catch it or don't remember, the two were presenting an award, Best Miniseries Drama, and Jennifer Lopez grabbed the envelope to read who the recipient of the Golden Globe was. And as she was opening, she said, yeah, I'll do it. I've got the nails, meaning that her long nails could open up the envelope.
Right.
Jeremy Renner responded, you've got the globes, too. Jennifer, at the time, was wearing a dress that was cut down to her belly button with her can spilling out. And Jennifer Lopez laughed on stage.
Right.
But social media has blown up saying Jeremy Renner, and I quote, sexually harassed Jennifer on live television. guilty.
I wasn't offended by it, but I also wasn't impressed by it. It seemed a little bit too easy.
Right, but
I mean, I feel like it's the kind of joke that 40 million people had already made watching at home on TV.
Captain Highbrow here is getting ready to talk to a guy making balls out of whale beer or whatever. But no, oh, that's not the kind of joke. It's too easy.
No, I'm saying it was a pretty easy joke.
And it was off the cuff. It wasn't written, and it was funny. It was a funny aside.
It was fine. Like I said, it didn't bother me, but it also didn't impress me. It was fine. I wouldn't have written a strongly worded letter like some of these people you're talking about.
Yeah, people just are dying to be upset about something.
Aren't they? They are.
Desperate
That's
to
true.
Be offended. Meanwhile, Jennifer Lopez may have a new boyfriend.
Jeremy Renner?
No. She
Couldn't
was
that be
seen,
awesome?
It would be. Seen partying after the Golden Globes with an actor named Ryan Guzman. You may not know the name, but he is her co-star in the new movie The Boy Next Door.
Ah.
About the...
Seen the trailer.
The young man who lives next door to a teacher, and they end up having a torrid affair. And when she tries to end it, he becomes a bit of a stalker. He is 27 years old. She is a well-preserved 45.
She looks great.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, for 45.
And people say maybe life imitating art.
Actors don't ever hook up on movie sets, though, Ralph.
No, they don't.
Seem unlikely.
That is the one rule of Hollywood.
Sure. You don't sleep with your co-stars. We all know that.
Right. Speaking of Jennifer, speaking of sleeping with your co-stars, I feel bad for Jack Nicholson.
Why?
Because apparently he's lonely. He tells Closer magazine that he'd love one last romance, but isn't optimistic about falling in love again. He's had a series of broken relationships behind him, and Jack said, regarding life and love, we don't always do the right thing, say the right thing, or behave in the way we always want to behave.
Okay.
Well said, Jack.
Meaning he's made some mistakes along the way?
Yeah. He's had relationships with Angelica Houston, of course, Baby Boole, Laura Flynn Boyle, Rebecca Broussard, numerous others through the years, and now he's all by himself in that big house. Just him and his art, not acting anymore, just knocking around.
I'm guessing he's not all by himself in that house.
You don't know, man.
All the time.
You don't know. It's lonely.
Jack Nicholson.
He's still got a phone and $200 an hour.
Oh. Like, he has to pay anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
Ugh. That's not the kind of joke I would make.
Pretty
low-hanging, I think. I'm not impressed. Fox has decided to go to another round of MasterChef Junior.
Yes!
Oh, what's better than kids cooking?
Everything!
Well, I beg to differ, Kevin, because this may come as a surprise to you, but it is now TV's number one ranked cooking show.
But cooking show.
There's a lot of cooking shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many viewers per episode do you think it gets?
Eight?
Nine? Around 6 million. Around 6 million viewers.
What?
Yeah, around 6 million viewers. So why don't you just pipe down over there, mister, and start cooking.
Well, I hate cooking shows. All of them.
I hate little kids. So there's nothing in for us.
But 6 million?
Yep.
That's way more than a lot of the shows I watch.
Way more. Way more.
What's the...
You see why Fox renewed it for another season.
That's weird.
What are we missing about this show, Ralph? What makes it
It's
good?
Kids cooking!
Right, no, I got that, but despite that,
kids
why are people watching?
Kids cook the darndest things!
Is that right?
Yes!
I mean...
Is it a competition show?
It is. It's just like MasterChef or Top Chef or any of those kind of things where the kids are cooking and they have assignments and then they compete against each other.
Does someone yell at the kids? Is it like that?
Well, Gordon Ramsay is the host.
Oh, he's the yeller.
Yeah, but he doesn't really yell at the kids. He takes it easy on the kids for
Pussy.
The most part.
So what's great about it? Because so far, kids cooking, that can't be it. There must be some X factor we don't know about. Is there anything else?
6 million viewers.
It's kids cooking. I don't think you understand.
All right.
Kids
That's
are cooking.
Crazy.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Only great people were born today. That's all.
That's good news.
Grant Gustin, for example, who plays the Flash. Flash! Ah! He's 25 years old today. Do you know that the Flash is the most watched show on the CW?
Is that right?
Most popular show on CW.
Are there any kids cooking on it?
No, not that I know of.
Better than Vampire Diaries?
But the Flash runs really fast. What did I just say to you?
Well, I'm saying, what did I say? You said better
Start
than any
Start naming
other
shows on the CW. I dare you. I'll come over and punch you right in the head. I said, that's the most watched show on the CW.
More than the Arrow?
I'm going to kill you. Caleb Followell's 33 years old today.
I feel like this is a tough start to a day, you guys. I feel like death threats more before than the 6 a.m.
Jason Bateman's 46. Speaking of 46, our buddy Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters is also 46.
Come on. The coolest.
Okay. He is the coolest.
Is he? How about rapper LL Cool J? Cool's in his name.
Yeah. Less cool, though, than Dave.
Yeah,
we have to take some points away for accidental racist.
47 years old today. Steven Soderbergh.
Genius.
Talented director is 52 years old today. And our very own, at one time, the drummer who pretty much invented rock and roll with Little Richard, now keeps us safe here at the station at K-Rock. Legendary rock and roll drummer Charles Connor, who's also security guard, is 80 years old today.
Let's all keep it funky now.
Mm-hmm. Funky and juicy.
That's right. That guy rules.
He's the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is a singer with some actual talent right there. Toad Lowe.
Yes. Yes, Toad indeed. Lowe. Why do you say it like that?
Because we're about to play you some examples of a singer that does not have talent. It's coming up in a second.
So Willow Smith, who is now 14 years old, by the way, she has this career because of her parents, but I guess anyone can put songs up on SoundCloud. I guess you don't need any kind of connections to do that. But hers get attention because she is Willow Smith, and her famous father is Will Smith, and her mother is Jada Pinkett Smith. So we're supposed to pay attention to her because she's Willow Smith, right?
Yeah, although you say they're parents, I can see no evidence of parenting with these two.
Yeah, they do seem to be free-range kids, if you believe that New York Times article from a few weeks ago.
Jaden Smith and his tweets, woo!
I will tell you, though, and I know that I may be alone on this, I didn't think Whip My Hair was terrible. It was not unlistenable. It wasn't maybe to my taste, but it was at least a song.
Yeah.
At least it sounded like a song. The new stuff that she's doing is more just like she's just dropping acid and seeing what comes out.
My problem with Whip My Hair is that to me was all production and pretty much no her.
So anyone could have sung that. Yeah.
But she has put out an EP now called Interdimensional Tesseract.
Okay. Which sounds like the name of the next bad Will Smith sci-fi movie.
She's 14. The first one is See You Dance. And you're going to have to make up your own mind on this one because I'm not exactly sure what's going on.
Hearing any Willow.
It doesn't say featuring someone.
Could it be her with her voice pitched down?
I guess it could be, yeah. This person just wants to move and shake, though.
Yeah.
And groove.
So that's that song.
So that's song one.
That is one-third of the Willow Smith EP that we're being encouraged to download.
Correct. The next one is called Vibration.
All right.
Again, Willow Smith.
Time and a place for that.
Nope.
Sounds like the type of thing that your massage therapist would put on, you know, the background kind of low while you're getting rubbed.
Wow, take it easy, first of all. And second of all, I would ask him to change it.
Are there any words? Is she speaking words or is this Esperanza? What's happening?
I don't know. I really don't know. Here's the weird thing about that, though. Is it that sort of sounds like maybe a little new agey, a little jazzy,
yeah,
a little.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, new agey, yeah.
She's 14.
Right.
So where did that come from?
I don't know.
Then there's the song that we featured yesterday or whenever it came out, Heart. Which, Bean, what's the other name for it that we thought it was?
Well, I didn't know. By the way, it's the actual title of this song is H-E-A-R-T.
H-E-A-R-T.
Right. I just assumed it was called hydrogen because that seems to be the hook of it. She seems to be talking about how she's hydrogen. So, but yeah, if it's called H-E-A-R-T, my apologies. But this one is pretty far out for Willow Smith.
I'm going to tell you the words because you may not understand them, but they are spectacular. I don't think it's fair that you're on Earth and I'm up here making galaxies and planets.
Okay.
And it sounds like it's coming from her perspective. So it's not fair that all of us people that are stuck on Earth don't get to have her life where she creates other planets.
All right. She's living in the stars, man. We're stuck here in terra firma. She wins.
I don't think it's fair that you're on Earth and I'm up here making stars and galaxies and comets, making a life on another dimension.
Aren't you done now? Right there you go. Nope, I'm not listening to that.
Like, is there more?
She's not even singing. I don't think it's fair.
I don't think it's fair that you're on Earth and I'm up here making stars and galaxies and planets, making the world another dimension.
Yeah.
First of all, one review of the of that song said there's no tune because tunes are so last year. And second of all, if Bjork put that same song out that sounded exactly the same, wouldn't people be falling over themselves to praise its genius?
They may. I'm not a fan of Bjork, so I would not be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's straight crap.
Where do you think this music's coming from for a 14-year-old?
I don't know. Like, unless it's producers that write the songs or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a bizarre headspace for a person of that age to be in.
But if you're their parent, let's say that you're Will Smith.
Uh-huh.
Hey, maybe take another run at that song.
I like it. I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
It's not a hit, and you can't watch it. But you can listen to it, and we would not advise it.
Let me tell you about a sweet deal that K-Rock has going on right now. It's our World Tour 2015, destination number one. At 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m., you can qualify for a chance to win a pair of passes to Coachella. And here's where it gets neat. Plus, you can see any band playing Coachella again anywhere in the world that they play in the whole calendar year. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I think I might be an AC/DC in Australia guy.
I'm doing Porn on the Cob in Europe. That would be my choice.
I mean, you look at this lineup and you go, hey, Interpol in India. I mean, whatever combination you want, whatever that band is going in 2015, you get to go. I mean, this is actually one of the coolest things we've ever given away. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. And don't forget, you can qualify at 9 o'clock this morning right here on KROQ.
They are now making beer out of whale testicles.
Why is that necessary?
I don't know. They're doing it in Iceland.
Yeah, well, Iceland is honked out.
It's a microbrewery that has announced they will be releasing a limited edition beer that is made with smoked whale testicles from the endangered fin whale.
Now, hasn't there been a great deal of controversy in Iceland and other places around the world about fishing for the fin whale? That's a bad thing for a lot of people say, right?
Yes, they're trying to protect the fin whale. But this particular brewery did something with it last year and sort of got grandfathered in. They got permission.
Okay. Look, I'm not a beer drinker. I wish Omar were here because he's our show's resident beer snob. But how is beer better by putting in whale testicles?
Well, I mean, we can talk to the person that's making it from the brewery.
What's his name,
in
Kevin?
Iceland. His name is Dagvatr Arilusen.
Is that close, sir?
Well, it was something to hear you try to sing that. That was really, for sure, an experience I'll never forget.
I apologize. How do you say your name?
It's Dagbutur.
Yes?
Follow me now.
Dagbutur.
Dagbutur?
Uh-huh.
Aureliusen.
Aureliusen.
It sounds so simple the way you say it, sir.
There, just now everybody's happy with the names now, for sure. And you are Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean, that's right. K-Rock, Los Angeles. Now, you run the Steady Brewery there in Iceland?
Yes, the brewery on the corner and co-brewer of the Steady Brewery here in Iceland.
Okay, fantastic. Whale testicles. My question, sir, was how does that improve the taste of beer? That seems like the type of thing you would want to filter out of beer before you served it to a customer.
No. You're all wrong there, mister, when you think that.
Okay.
It's a delicious flavor that's added to the beer. from the smoking of whale testicles. Mm-hmm. And it obviously adds smoky flavor to the beer, but also an earthy quality that you must really have taste to enjoy.
Okay. Now, do you kill a whole whale just to get the testes?
Whoa. Easy there, big failure, with all the accusations of murder.
Well, he was just asking.
Oh, no. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
What's happening?
That's a fin whale there, one of my friends' fin whale.
One of your friends?
Yes. You're crazy. You think we kill killed the fin whale for beer.
I do not want to know then.
No, we just get him to dip his testicles in the beer. Come on over. We got another vat for you. Yeah, they just come by and teabag it.
How do you talk a whale into teabagging the beer?
That's easy. The hard part's getting him to smoke.
I feel like there was a joke, and that's a punchline to it. The most famous boxing promoter in the world, Don King, joins us later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Jay Baruchel will be on the program today, and Adam Carolla. Plus, it's going down. I think we came up with the best solution yesterday, that we need to settle this in a boxing ring. But comedian Brad Williams v. Ralph Garman, that's happening at 7 o'clock this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You won't want to miss it.
Big beef going on.
That's right,
man. Don't want to miss that. My Strange Addiction is back on TLC.
TLC, of course, stands for the Freak Show Network, and this is the program where people eat dirt or have sex with cars, right?
Yeah, all of the above. It's on Wednesday nights at 10, and there's a one-hour special that profiled people that I'm going to play some clips for in a second. Later in the season, they have a 26-year-old woman who drinks air freshener, okay. A 29-year-old woman who can't stop eating bricks.
Okay.
And a 31-year-old man addicted to dating very elderly women.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we had that story in England last year about that 31-year-old who was dating a 90-year-old or something,
yes,
like that.
Yes, exactly. So
wow.
That's coming up this season.
I don't even see how you eat a brick. I don't even see how you bite into a brick.
Well, you're going to have to watch. I don't either.
Okay.
I've never tried it, honestly. The first clip that I have from My Strange Addiction is men... The name of the show is Men Who Dress Up as Rubber Dolls. Men Who Dress as Rubber Dolls.
All right, so these are not furries.
Right.
They like to dress as costume characters, but
yes.
In rubber.
In rubber, head to toe.
Okay.
So they put an entire – it's like getting into a wetsuit.
All right, I'm intrigued.
The first thing they want you to know, Bean, is that they are no different than you and I.
It's weird, but like in a cool, weird way. It's like, whoa, what's that?
They're not freaky people. They're just like you and me.
They squeeze into masks and bodysuits to transform into life-size rubber dolls. This is an exclusive look behind the masks of men who dress as rubber dolls.
I am delighted that the robot is back as the announcer on Strange Addiction. So this is Men Who Dress as Rubber Dolls.
Are they just like us?
I don't think so.
I hope not. Here's one of the dudes, the first dude that they featured.
When I dress up and I put this mask on and the wig and, you know, look very nice, it's like a beautiful woman walking down the street.
Yeah, you know what? It's not a beautiful woman walking down the street. All right, where is that dude from?
I'm going to just guess and say Southern California.
70-year-old Robert is a semi-retired property developer who lives a comfortable suburban life in Orange County, California.
Boom!
How do you not say Florida?
Oh, that's... I didn't even think about Florida.
How?
I just thought how weird it would be if somebody like that was in our listening audience. Okay.
You want more information on his life? He's a 70-year-old.
Recently divorced after a 10-year marriage, Robert shares his home with his teenage daughter.
Can you imagine? Is it not hard enough to be a teenage girl?
And have a 70-year-old father, yep. And then have a 70-year-old father who dresses up in rubber suits? Yeah, that's kind of weird.
That seems bad, right?
This is so strange. I still haven't figured out what the I'm sure they'll get into it. I'm trying to figure out what the motivation is, because it doesn't sound like this is somebody who's turned on by dressing up in women's clothing and putting on makeup and wigs and things like that.
I mean, watched the whole hour. There didn't seem to be any sexual nature to it.
I'm trying to figure out what the draw is to be in tight, uncomfortable rubber. Like, what's in it for this dude?
It's full-on rubber. I just tweeted out a vine of one of these people talking. So the mouth doesn't move. There's a full face mask, but the mouth doesn't move. But they talk all the time. So you're looking at this creepy-looking woman that is not attractive.
Called maskers.
Maskers is the name of them, yes.
This looks like, you know what this looks like? This looks like something you would put on as a disguise to rob a bank.
Yes. Uh-huh. They mentioned that during the show. Yeah, okay. We know that that seems to be the part, but that has nothing to do with what we're doing. So here's 70-year-old Robert putting it on.
This is my new femskin. It's the, they call it the HD model. You have to roll it down to about the waist before you can pull it on. You have to put in a lot of powder so you don't stick to it.
Yeah.
Well, chafing, I'm sure, is a real concern for maskers.
Why does he do it? Why does 70-year-old Robert dress up like a rubber doll?
For a dozen years, Robert has spent his spare time dressing up as Sherry.
I just can't believe that that's a 70-year-old man in the mirror.
All right. Now he's looking at the mirror and he's wearing the full woman doll mask.
Okay.
And he is fascinated by the fact that he doesn't look like a 70-year-old man.
Sure.
And that's why I do this. If I saw a 70-year-old man in the mirror, I'd quit this tomorrow. That's me in there. That's one of the things I have to keep telling myself. That's not just a 70-year-old man. That's me inside that female.
So he
Which
just,
probably happened for the last time a long time ago.
He just loves being able to be to look like a different person. He's an old man who loves to walk around and feel like and look like a young woman.
I guess, but if you, let's say it's Halloween or whatever, and you're wearing a mask. When you look at a mirror, don't you go, oh, that's me with a mask?
Yes, of course.
You don't think you're looking at a beautiful woman or whatever.
I think he is just, he's invested in this character. I mean, you heard he gave the character a name. I think he feels like he becomes a different person.
I'm going to play this next clip. It's very short, and then I'm going to ask you what's happening. What would you guess is happening there?
Is he either trying to put the outfit, the rubber suit on, or try to take it off?
Just finished putting the suit on.
Wow.
And it probably took 10 minutes. It's like putting on a wetsuit, for those of you that surf and you've been in a wetsuit. You have to literally pull it all the way up.
Okay.
But it also has a face. It also has a mask that you put on, too, a full head covering.
It has to be so sweaty.
I would think
Doesn't
so, too.
It?
Yeah, I would think so, too. That's why he's putting so much powder in it. I don't know. This is insanity.
After years in solitude, Robert has decided to appear in public as Sherry at a gathering of fellow maskers in Minneapolis.
So he's been doing it by himself, just walking around the house dressed like this for a long time before he took it public?
He says his teenage daughter didn't even know that that his room is upstairs and nobody else goes upstairs. So he keeps all this stuff upstairs. When his daughter's out of the house, he'll dress up. And most of the time what these people do is just take photos. They don't want to go out because they get ridiculed. So this guy goes into his backyard and just takes photos. And then he looks at the photos and goes, man, that's crazy. That's not a 70-year-old man.
Can you imagine how weird that is, that he's sitting on his couch in his house by himself, dressed in a rubber suit, watching college basketball?
Imagine the damage that would happen to you as a teenage girl to come home and see that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. And they have a gathering.
Minneapolis is home to the Rubber Doll World Rendezvous, an annual gathering of maskers from across the country.
Gathering of maskers from across the country. I don't know if they were only allowed to show the 8 people that were there.
Okay.
Or 9.
You're suggesting it's not well attended.
Not well attended. No.
Okay.
So then they go to this family that makes the suits.
Oh.
They make these rubber doll suits for people who want to wear them. And the woman is on Skype with a customer. And the customer is ordering the skin color.
Mm-hmm.
And does he want boobs?
So it's like buying a real doll where you customize your character.
Yes. Okay. And maybe a little too much customization. Listen.
I'd probably say the medium skin tone as well.
A set of D implants?
Yes, that'd be great.
Do you like the installed rectum in it or no?
Does he want the installed rectum or no?
How much extra is that, I wonder?
What do you guess his answer is?
Oh, he's going to go for it. Why not?
Go for the whole say yes, probably, on that one.
So wait! So if he's getting the installed rectum, this is not a guy who's sitting around by himself at home in his rubber suit.
That is the only mention. I watched the whole hour. That's the only mention of anything that might be sexual.
Yeah, this guy's he's playing the girl with someone, right?
Here's my thing. Yeah. If you're getting asked if you want the installed rectum, you're doing something wrong. I will never be in that position. I'll tell you that right now.
If that question is ever asked of you under any circumstances,
say
it
no.
May be time to reevaluate your choices.
And then this dude goes on to explain the turn on for him.
I didn't think I had the means, charm, charisma, body, whatever it looks, to have a sexy girlfriend. And I loved women. I used to collect pictures of swimsuit models. So I decided to emulate a sexy female, to basically make what I couldn't have.
Yeah.
So he's become the woman that he desires.
Yeah.
Basically.
And by the way, all of them find these rubber dolls beautiful, and they're all creepy.
Yeah, they are. They're creepy.
You look at it, you just go, wow, that's weird.
And by the way, you don't collect pictures of swimsuit models. You watch porn. That's what you're doing, sir.
Yeah, he's a little older. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what his deal was. But and here's a further explanation.
I just blend in. And when I walk down the street, people don't pay any attention to me.
That's when he's not wearing the rubber dolls.
But when I dress up and I put this mask on and the wig and, you know, look very nice, it's like a beautiful woman walking down the street. You become one of the, I guess what you would call one of the beautiful people.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. No, on that. You're not a beautiful people.
I think, yes, you are getting attention because people are horrified to see a rubber person. You're not blending in as a beautiful woman, right?
Oh, he's one of the beautiful people.
Okay.
And finally, there is some controversy in the group because some of them want to go out and publicize this, and the others are afraid that they're going to get mocked. So this is two guys afraid they're going to get mocked and a third trying to get him to go outside.
I wouldn't walk, you know, 20 steps down the road dressed as a doll.
I'm not going anywhere near a bar.
Oh, come on.
That's what the conversation is like. They got Kenny from South Park.
Oh, come on. Let's go outside.
Well, doesn't everyone sound like that when they're under the desk?
Yes, they all do. All of them talk like that. That's what you're watching for a full hour.
I never even heard of maskers until now, and I love it.
My Strange Addiction on TLC tonight and Wednesdays at 10 p.m. I feel like Bean would have one of those suits in his house. Do you?
Huh? Yeah, and he'd sing that while he was dressed up as a woman looking in the mirror. And you're...
I can't believe I look like a beautiful woman. Not the installed rectum.
Not hurting anyone. Just having fun.
Just prancing in front of the mirror in the woman's suit.
For some reason, Chip is there.
Friday nights are long in the winter, guys. You gotta occupy yourself. Hey, you guys ready for the death match between Ralph and Brad Williams?
Ready.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The beef, man. The beef.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Brad Williams, your mortal foe.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Little tiny comedian that used to be on the Kevin and Bean show?
Like most people, I've never heard of Brad Williams.
Well, you're going to have a chance to talk to him coming up right after the top of the hour. We'll get this thing settled here today.
What possibly can make you think I want to talk to him?
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
You know, tomorrow is the big nominations for the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to announce them tomorrow morning. And as is the tradition, the day before the Oscars, the Razzies get announced.
These
are the nominations for the year's Golden Raspberry Awards, honoring the worst in this year's crop of movies.
Also known as, what did Kevin see in 2014?
Whoa, snap! Burn! Transformers Age of Extinction, by the way, leads all movies with 7 Razzie nominations, including Worst Picture, Worst Screenplay, and Worst Director.
All right, Kevin, you saw it.
Yep.
A lot of people saw it. It made $1 billion or something. Was it awful?
It wasn't good, but the special effects were so great. I mean, it was just eye candy.
How many louds?
Oh, I'd give it 3 louds.
It
was awful. That's an awful film.
It's not good. I'm not saying it's
good. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm saying it was awful.
Okay, I can accept that, and still, it was very cool.
Are you glad you saw it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the one with the...
You know you have to say... You can't just... take one piece of a movie when you're watching it. You have to, the whole thing happens to you.
Some of us are more evolved, Ralph.
Good one. Yeah. Is that the one with Mark Wahlberg?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who also was not good at it.
We got a Transformer.
Well, that's gonna be huge at the Razzies.
Here are your nominations for this year's Razzies. I got a bone to pick, actually, with the Razzies, but we'll get into that in a minute. Kirk Cameron is nominated for Worst Actor for Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas. He's got to win, right?
I would think so.
Absolutely.
By
some accounts, it's the worst movie not of last year, but of all time.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage, Left Behind.
Sure.
Kellan Lutz for The Legend of Hercules.
Okay.
Adam Sandler for Blended.
Wait, hold on. You saw The Legend of Hercules?
I'm sorry, what?
Kellan Lutz? Did you
You saw Kellan Lutz in The Legend of Hercules?
You went to see that?
You need a effing hobby.
That's my spare time.
I love movies. You need a better hobby.
I love movies.
I know. Well, go to good ones. There are plenty of them.
I want a good movie.
No, you don't. You rarely want a good movie. How many movies do we talk about that are amazing? You're like, oh, I'm not going to see that. My wife tried to drag me that. I go, no. Hercules. Peanut butter cups. How many times do we have to tell you about good movies that you refuse to see?
Let's direct.
But you'll see the freaking Hercules movie.
Let's direct the attention back to the list.
I love it. It's Hercules and peanut butter cups. Kevin is a Muppet.
There he is. And lastly, in the worst actor category, Seth MacFarlane for A Million Ways to Die in the West. How dare you, Razzies?
Certainly had mixed reviews, but I think it's unfair to call him awful.
I agree.
He's a good actor.
Worst supporting actor, Mel Gibson for Expendables 3. Kelsey Grammer for Expendables 3, Legends of Oz, Think Like a Man 2, and Transformers Age of Extinction. Everything he did last year, he was the worst in. Shaquille O'Neal in Blended. Arnold Schwarzenegger in Expendables 3. Kiefer Sutherland in Pompeii. Did you see Pompeii, Kevin?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm surprised you missed that one. Worst actress, Drew Barrymore for Blended. Cameron Diaz for The Other Woman and Sex Tape. Melissa McCarthy for Tammy. Gaia Weiss for The Legend of Hercules. And Charlize Theron for A Million Ways to Die in the West.
They got a hard-on for that movie.
They hate that movie for some reason. Worst supporting actress, Cameron Diaz for Annie. Megan Fox for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Nicola Peltz for Transformers Age of Extinction. Susan Sarandon for Tammy. And Brigitte Ridenour for Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas.
All right.
Worst screen combo, Kirk Cameron and his ego. That's Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas. Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel for Sex Tape. Kellan Lutz and either his abs, his pecs, or his glutes for Hercules. Seth MacFarlane and Charlize Theron for A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Dumb.
And my favorite, any two robots from Transformers Age of Extinction. So,
hey, at least you didn't get a supporting actor Razzie nomination for A Million Ways to Die in the West, Ralph.
I'd dream about that. I wish I had a role that big to garner such an award.
Kevin, how was Sex Tape? You glad you saw that?
It wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
What in a million years? That doesn't even have Loud going for it. That doesn't even have robots fighting. What would possess you to go see that?
I'm curious about that as well.
Can't put myself in the headspace of that time.
There's no guns or cannons or explosions laser beams.
A lot of times it's Friday and you don't have a new really good movie that's coming out. You do the movie.
So don't go, then.
I like going.
Back to you.
Worst picture category, Legend of Hercules, Saving Christmas, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Left Behind. Those are your categories, your numbers, so there you go. You are just a conundrum wrapped in a riddle.
I like movies.
No, you don't. Obviously, no one who likes movies would see the things that you see.
Look, you like the theater going experience. It sounds.
Yeah, I think you like the popcorn and the soda and the chairs.
That's probably true.
What you like.
No, I like movies, but I can also see where most of the ones you guys are making fun of. You're absolutely correct when you make fun of them. So.
Yeah, what Dave has with Glee, you have with movies.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Just no critical thinking process whatsoever.
I can't help you with that.
Can't help you with that.
Just living my life, man.
No way to live a life. Remember that segment we did yesterday? You should get a pillow made with that stitched into it so you can just lay down your giant head on it at night. Maybe it'll sink in. That's no way to live a life.
You know how we were saying if somebody is asking you the question, would you like the installed rectum with that, it's time to reevaluate. If somebody says, would you like a ticket for The Legend of Hercules, maybe it's time to reevaluate.
One for sex tape, please? If those words are spoken, maybe you need to reevaluate.
They got up in the cloud. Nobody knows how to control the cloud, Rob.
That could happen.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Grant Gustin. He's Barry Allen. He's The Flash. 25 years old today. Actor Zach Gilford. He is 33. Caleb Followill of the Followill Boys from Kings of Leon. He's 33 as well. Actor Jason Bateman. How good is he?
Oh, love him so much.
46 years old today. Also 46, Foo Fighters' Dave Grohl. LL Cool J is 47 years old. Steven Soderbergh turns 52. And our very own, the man who keeps us safe here at K-Rock, but also pretty much invented rock and roll, along with Little Richard, drummer, entrepreneur, man about town, author, all-around good guy. Charles Conner celebrates his 80th birthday today.
K-Rock is the greatest radio station in the world.
Because y'all keep it funky.
That's right.
And juicy.
We keep it funky and juicy.
We're known for that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in about 50 minutes, we're going to be looking for your telephone calls. If you have ever been fired on your first day on the job or have been in a work situation where that has happened. Because that takes some real skill, right, to lose a job in the first 8 hours.
Now, you would think you would be competent enough to at least make it through a day.
You would think so. So we got some stories where it's happened to people. We want to know if it's happened to you at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, we got a little squabble going on within the family here. Ralph, you want to bring us up to speed before we bring on your mortal foe and find out what he's got to say about it?
I was stunned and shocked to find out that Brad Williams had a birthday party. Kevin told a story where he... per usual, just was a mess and couldn't find it and was roaming Los Angeles, the streets of Los Angeles, trying to find this party.
That's not the focus here, though.
And when he got to the party, there was like 8 minutes left and they closed the doors and he had to leave and it was a complete waste of his time. And I was like, well, at least, Kevin, regardless of your enormous fail, at least you got invited to the party. I was sort of stunned to find out there was a party because I thought Brad Williams... being a friend and all, would have invited me to the birthday party. But I guess now the truth is out, and now we can just all move on with our lives.
And it kind of rubs salt in the wound because, you know, while that conversation is going on, Dave's then telling you about the fun that he had at the party.
Right,
and you find
sure.
out that Dave was also invited.
I love ping pong. I was playing ping pong all the time with all night of ping pong.
Now, why
then, then, the unkindest cut of all, what do I hear yesterday from the back of the studio?
No.
Come here, fat ass. Tell him what you said.
Brad gave me an invitation.
Yeah, Brad gave me an invitation.
Beer mug was invited. Beer mug.
So before we go to Brad on the phone, what do you think went wrong? Do you think he sent the text to the wrong phone number or
was
something?
Kim Jong Un invited? Did he make the list?
Was it a miscommunication or do you think it was intentional?
No,
do you feel like it was
invited.
A snub?
Of course it was. I was not invited for some reason and for whatever reason, which really at this point doesn't even matter because you know what? You know what my father always taught me?
What? What's that?
When I was a young boy, he used to say to me, Ralph, he said, don't sweat the small things. So I don't sweat the small things, or the small people, for that matter.
Brad Williams.
Hello, Kevin and Bean family. And I use the word family.
Hi, Brad.
Ralph, I come to you with my tail between my legs.
You got a tail? It's a hell of a time to tell us.
Now that we're not friends anymore,
that's
now
right.
You tell us.
Well, I mean, maybe it'll be one of the things that helps rekindle this relationship. But
Brad, what happened? What went wrong, son?
There are absolutely no excuses for what I did, but I will try and make a couple.
Okay.
First of all, Ralph, I have absolutely no beef with you, and you are right with what you said yesterday. You are the reason why I'm even on the Kevin and Bean show. You brought me in, so thank you for that.
You're very welcome, person who I no longer know.
So First of all, I thought you had a Hollywood Babylon that night. You did not.
Was this a Saturday night?
Yes.
I see. Yeah. Because I do Hollywood Babylon Friday night, so I could see why you could get confused.
It was this past Saturday. Yeah.
You've done it on Saturday.
Like four times in 4 years. Yeah. But continue. Continue with your lame-ass excuses.
Well, and also, I want to bring up the fact that you said that I did indeed invite Beer Mug. But that is more of a reflection on the negative thoughts I have about myself and not on any thoughts I have about you. How crappy is my self-esteem that I invite Beer Mug to my party? That I think, wow, well, my party will be good if Beer Mug is here.
I see.
That's, you know, it's like,
you're like a woman who sleeps with an abusive boyfriend because you don't have much self-esteem. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. That's like if you walk into the lunchroom at Orange Is the New Black and you sit next to Crazy Eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. And I mean, let's face it, you are Hollywood celebrity Ralph Garman. You are out and about in the business. You're hanging with Kevin Smith and Seth MacFarlane. Mm-hmm. And what would the great Ralph Garman want to do with me? I don't know. But
this is unconvincing.
You're
by
a
way,
friend
this,
of ours.
This is unconvincing that he's trying to make it sound like he's starstruck by you, Ralph.
Yeah, he's trying to polish my apple so that I'll feel pretty strong about myself.
Yeah, I'm not buying this at all.
Oh, it's because you think I'm so great. That's why you didn't want to have me at your party.
Yeah, because nobody wants greatness at their party.
You don't want people you really respect and admire at your birthday
only,
party.
Only people you dislike, like me and Dave.
Only losers.
Well, and here's the thing, Ralph, is while you brought me into the show, over the years, most of the time when I'm in studio, you're not in studio because I'm subbing for you.
You often fill in for me on the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah.
Used to.
I oftentimes fill in.
Yeah, that's all over.
Brad, I feel like this would be more convincing if it's just I forgot. If it was just a brain fart, like, I don't know how it happened, I just forgot. Because everything else is just ringing false to me. I don't know about you guys. How are you feeling
look,
about it?
Look, I will tell you that I got, I don't know, it was a direct message on Twitter, and it was maybe...
I have Twitter, by the way, Kevin. I just want you to know that I'm also on Twitter.
I'm not even sure it was 24 hours in advance. I mean, it was a last second. Hey, probably no chance, but if you're free on Saturday night, here's the party, 9 to 1. And I was like, wow, that guy plans like I do. That's not good.
And that is true. It was sort of a last minute thing, but and also what I realize is that I have things that I do with pretty much every member on the show. I mean, Dave and Chip are in my fantasy football league.
Right.
I go with Kevin to Brazil.
Right.
There's the side business that I run with Bean when I'm in Seattle, where he drives the van and I lure them in.
We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that.
All right. Don't talk about rape club. First rule.
So you're saying your relationship with Ralph, is it strong enough or personal enough for him to be invited to your party?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that Ralph and I don't have a thing, and that very much depresses me. I think that we should have something.
So now it's your fault, Ralph.
you know the way to really cement our relationship and bring us closer is to not invite me to your birthday party.
But everyone around you.
Yes, yeah. Look, but everyone else that I work with. That makes me feel like I really want to start hanging out with you more.
I don't feel like we're getting anywhere in this conversation. So what about your idea yesterday, Ralph, which is that the only way to settle it is with a boxing match?
First of all, that was not my idea at all.
I thought you went for it, though.
Now, I believe you're the one who came up with that, Bean.
Oh.
Well, genius plan.
No, there will be no boxing match between Brad and myself.
Oh, yeah, isn't punching a dwarf a hate crime? I can't do that.
I believe it is.
It might be.
What if Brad has another party this Saturday and I invite you? Let's do over.
Another party?
Yeah, let's do it over.
How many birthdays do midgets get?
Look, I only made it for like 8 minutes. So
you want another shot at the party, basically.
Shot at the party.
Ralph, they don't live as long, so you give them 2 a year.
And like dog years?
we really age very quickly.
So look,
very amazing.
How can we get you two kids back together? Because I hate to see strife at the dinner table.
Now, I have an idea.
Okay.
And Ralph, maybe you'll go for this. Maybe you won't. You and Petros love The Bachelor.
This is true, yes.
You love that show.
Yes.
Maybe we do like a Mystery Science Theater thing where we rent out like either a comedy club or a theater, and we hand microphones to Petros, yourself, and me, and we sort of live talk on The Bachelor, maybe on like the finale or something, and we like clown it in front of an audience. That'd be a thing that we could have.
You know, just what I need is another job. You're right. That's what I need.
That sounds like a lot of work for you, Ralph.
One more gig. That's what I need.
Can Ralph Midget toss you at the screen? Would that be cool?
If he doesn't like one of the contestants, yes, he can throw me at the screen, and I can leave one of those cartoon Roger Rabbit imprints on the wall. Absolutely.
I love that rather than apologize, Ralph, Brad is trying to horn in on your entertainment news, basically.
Basically, he's trying to pitch me a new shtick.
Exactly. So, all right.
Well, this has been charming, Brad.
I'm voting for Fight. Bean?
I still think Fight is the best idea that we've had so far.
Stop playing the Rockies.
But we are out of time. I think this is the first step toward what I hope will be eventually the healing process. I don't think that that all
of
it. I think
if anything, we're further apart now than we were when we
really?
Started.
I just felt that you guys, the fact that you guys at least talked, I thought was a good first step. So
you
maybe next time it'll
so
go a little
small
better.
Could cause such a big hurt.
Ralph, I'm sorry.
Let me tell you something about that little band there, Imagine Dragons. We got a chance to hang out with them some at the Acoustic Christmas Show. Nicest guys in the world.
Yeah, awesome.
Wouldn't know that they've gone from nowhere to one of the biggest bands on the planet in about a couple of years. They just they couldn't be more fun to hang out with. That is I Bet My Life. Their new album is going to be Smoke and Mirrors, and it comes out very soon, in about a month, on February the 17th. On Thursday of last week, Kevin, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission announced that it has filed a lawsuit against Magnolia Personal Care Home, a Mississippi nursing home, for firing an employee on her first day when she revealed she was pregnant. She was hired as a kitchen assistant. She told her supervisor about the pregnancy on her first day of work and was fired an hour later to be replaced by somebody who wasn't pregnant. Now, it's very possible that something will come out that will have nothing to do with her pregnancy, that she was just a bad employee. But that kind of got us thinking about, it's possible she was also fired because she was pregnant. They didn't want the implications of that down the road.
You have to really be something special for a job or a boss to determine that any type of future, including day two, should not happen.
Yes,
that's unbelievable.
Exactly. If you are not qualified for day two, that says a lot about you. So we thought, what a fascinating topic that I don't think we've ever done before. People who are fired on the first day of work. Sometimes it's just not a good fit, I guess. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I did a little bit of a research, and I found out that there is on almost every topic, there is a subreddit on this topic of people telling their stories of being fired on the first day. So if it happened to you or if it happened where you work and you know about it, we want to hear about it at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a guy who says, my dad was a golf caddy for one day. As his player was putting, he yelled out to one of his friends that was passing by in a nearby street and was not invited back.
He's an idiot. You know golfers take that seriously.
Right. Perfect example of why somebody might be fired on the first day. Just not cut out for that job. I once witnessed a coworker fired on the first day trim her arm hair with scissors at work. I could do nothing but freeze it there. Yes, first day.
What?
The only time that I was fired was on my first day of work. It was shortly after I punched my manager. I was in my early 20s. I had just been hired at a certain international fast food restaurant. The manager on duty decided that the best way to train new employees was to stand back and yell at a new employee whenever an order was effed up. I got fed up with his BS and I yelled back. He shoved me up against the wall, so I broke his nose and was fired for it.
Wow.
One more, and then we'll go to Manuel on line one. Please hang on, Manuel. My boss told me of a guy he had to fire on their first day. It was at a fast food place. About halfway through the first guy's shift, he comes up to my boss and he says, hey, look, I know this is ridiculous since it's my first day, but I was wondering if it would be possible at all to get a paycheck advance of $830. My boss obviously said no. The kid said he owed money on something that would land him in huge trouble if he didn't pay. The boss says, hey, good luck. Get back to work. End of the day rolls around, and as my boss is cashing out the register, guess which till was $830 short.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Boss calls him up and he confesses immediately. He said he freaked out and he panicked, but the boss gave him a huge break and said if he came right back right away with the cash, he'd only lose his job and not get arrested. So that's what happened. He did come back. He did get fired. Yeah, that may he may have earned that getting fired by embezzling on the first day.
Those are the funniest. If it's your fault, I love it.
Yeah, I do too. That's awesome. All right, let's take Manuel real quick, and then we'll he's on line one in L.A., and then we'll take some more after the break again. 1-800-520-1067 if you have a story about being fired on the first day. Manuel, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, my friend.
How you doing, Kevin and Bean? And no Lisa, of course.
Yep. Yes, we miss Lisa. She'll be back tomorrow. What happened to you, sir?
Well, I got hired on the spot at a sushi bar. I was going to be a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. They were giving me $10.50 an hour to start, plus tips. But they told me that I had to shave my head, I had to shave my beard, I had to shave my arms, my knuckles.
How hairy were you? No. That's crazy. Somebody told you you had to shave your knuckles?
Well, yes. All the hair off my arms. Either way, the next day I got there and took out a food handling certificate. I left home early. I was waiting for the bus. It didn't come. The next bus came. They were training someone. The girl wasn't making all the stops. Short story, I showed up 15 minutes late. As soon as I showed up, the lady just said, you know what? I mean, I'm too bad I made you shave, but at least you have a food certificate.
So now you're out of work again, but now you've got no hair on your upper body.
Well, yeah, it took me a long time to find another job and look like a
I love it, and I'm glad you called, but I believe she made the right decision.
All right, Manuel, thanks for calling. 1-800-520-1067. What happened to you? Your call's next on KIPP.
Somehow we knew this topic would be our peeps. This is our peeps. Wheelhouse, right in the wheelhouse.
Well, I love our listeners, but I particularly love our listeners today because they're getting it done at 1-800-520-1067. Let's just burn through as many as we can. The topic is you were fired on your first day at work, or you were there when it happened to somebody else, because these are great stories. Why don't we start with Daniel? He's in the City of Commerce. He's on line four to get us going here.
All right. Hi, Daniel.
Good morning, party people.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What happened, sir?
So they hired this 19, 20-year-old kid at my job, and they hired him as a driver. They told him, go ahead, start loading up. About an hour and a half later, he crashed into one of the safety poles around the warehouse and smashed the truck.
He didn't even make it out onto the road?
No, I fired him on the spot.
Yeah, when you start costing the company money on the first day, that's when you're begging to be fired, isn't it? I mean, at least he couldn't have been surprised by that, right?
You know, he was definitely surprised, and he cried in my office telling me he needed the job, but, you know, he had to go.
Yeah, you know what? I need a truck that's whole. That hasn't been ruined.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate you listening. Let's move on to Ontario, please. Elsa joins us on line six on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Elsa.
Good morning.
So you got fired on your first day?
Well, it wasn't me. I was actually the manager on duty. So I hired this guy. 3 hours in after orientation, I went ahead and went on lunch. Shortly after that, I get a call from the manager on duty stating that the guy went into the back room and huffed some of our cleaning supplies.
The guy went into the back room and huffed your cleaning supplies?
Yes, which is so irritating. So, yeah, he huffed the cleaning supplies, called 911 because he passed out, and obviously we had to fire him, and that was about 3 hours into his shift.
Wow, you're a little uptight.
Yeah, seriously. Cut a guy a slack, man. That's fantastic, Elsa. Thank you so much for sharing that. All right, let's go to Dennis in Tustin. He's on line seven. He actually was the fiery Kevin. You'll love him.
Awesome. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, good morning.
You were fired on day one.
On day one.
What happened?
4 hours into my shift.
What type of job?
I'm a chef now, but back then I was just a regular cook.
Okay.
I basically burned about 20 vegetable burgers, and my chef told me that I was the dumbest worker that he had ever seen in his life.
How do you burn 20 of them? Were you cooking them all at once?
All at once, and the flat top was really high, which I was inexperienced at the moment, so...
So you only made it 4 hours. You didn't even make it through the day.
No, I didn't make it through the day. At least I got a free meal.
Hey, I got another question, Dennis, that I haven't been asking other people. When you work a partial day, like 2, 3, 4 hours, do you still get paid for that time when you get fired, or is it a total wash?
In the restaurant, it was a total wash.
Places
that do give you a full day, but the place where I was working at, it was a total wash, and that was it.
Gotcha. All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Gabe. He's on line one. He got fired by his own dad.
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, guys.
Your dad fired you on the first day.
Well, yeah. My dad's a painting contractor, and I'm a cook. And
I was in between jobs, and he needed a laborer on his job for a couple of days. He was like, yeah, you know, he's like, I'll pay you, you know, $200-$300 for a couple of days' work. You know, it might be rough. I was like, okay.
Sweet.
So I showed up, and his guys were yelling at me for about 3 hours, and then he took me to lunch, and he like, rubbed me on the back and said, hey, I'm going to give you that that $200, but I really can't have you on the job site anymore. My guys are getting mad.
What were you doing that got them so upset?
Well, there were some rooms that were done and some rooms that weren't, and I was supposed to pull off all the tape and paper in the rooms that were done.
Right,
and I guess I was getting ahead of myself, and I was pulling off the tape and paper of the rooms they hadn't sprayed yet.
Oh, good.
They had to tape them off again, and...
You made the right call, dude.
You were causing more work than you were getting done.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I gotcha. All right, thanks for the call. Let's do one more. This is John in L.A. because he sounds like a dude who is begging to get fired. John, thanks for calling. You're the final word on getting fired on the first day.
Hi. First of all, big fan.
Thank you.
And I kind of did this on purpose just because I started with Verizon and I was a customer service or customer care, and another company had called me, was going to pay me more and give me better hours. So I was like, all right, I'm going to leave, but I want to go out kind of in style. So when people were calling in, I would do different, like, voices and stuff. And
what, yeah, you do impressions?
Yes, sir, I do.
Like what?
So
if I'm calling Verizon and I need help, you get on the other end of the phone and you say what?
I was like, hello, thank you for calling Verizon. This is Arnold. How may I help you?
Well, at least and the then, impressions are great.
And then there were times where I was, like, answering in a Russian accent, like, hello, on behalf of Mother Russia, we'd like to thank you for calling Verizon.
Yeah.
How may I help you, sir?
I know you were trying to get fired, but they should have been able to fire you from life, not just from that job.
Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
You know how beer mug won't shut up?
Yes, I'm familiar with that phenomenon.
Long before there was a beer mug, there was a man named Don King, and he is going to show mugs how it's done when we talk to him on the phone coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning. He is promoting a WBC heavyweight championship fight coming up. The greatest boxing promoter of all time, Don King, coming up next. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
Because I come down from the mountain of Blackonite.
Hell yeah.
That's when the black Superman squares off in the round circle that will always be the tremendously popular sport of boxing only in America.
He's the best.
He is the best. He promoted the Rumble in the Jungle, you guys.
Yes, he did.
Which was what, 1974 or 5?
Yeah, about that.
Six?
About that, yeah. That was the...
But he was also... Mike Tyson's promoter?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's been he's
all
been
the biggest
the
fights in history were Don King, yeah.
Throughout the past four decades.
He's the man. And it's kind of sad. I mean, I guess we'll talk to this about with Mr.
Hair,
Mr. King
about his
this.
Hair?
No. It's just kind of sad that who can name a boxer anymore? Remember when boxers used to be among the biggest stars on the planet?
Well, they've ruined it. Boxing itself has ruined it.
Too many different
promoters and no organization and just cutting each other's throats and undercutting each other and just the lack of organization, just the sheer greed destroyed that sport. And
they need to do like a Marvel reboot, right? And just unify.
They need to start over again and have one cohesive governing organization that runs that sport, because you can't follow who the champions are. You can't follow who the contenders are. You got magazines involved and the different boxing councils, and it's an impossible sport for the average fan to follow.
I know this is a heavyweight title fight, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize either of the names.
But which heavyweight title is it for?
WBC.
WBC, okay. Yeah. But then you have...
Yeah, I don't know.
You've got several other belts out there as well floating around. There's no distinct champions in this sport. I mean, it for the longest time they were the only game in town, and I think they got sloppy and lazy and greedy, and it just tore down the sport.
And it had to have lost a lot of fans by UFC.
Of course.
That's when I quit. So much more dynamic.
That's when I quit.
Yeah.
But it's because UFC is very clear and concise and easy to follow, and there's one governing body, and you're able to, at least
and a tremendously deep talent pool in the UFC, too.
Yes.
You know, for every weight class, there's, you know, four or five, six guys that you know and like. You
and
know,
I,
that
I know I'm
going to
get
stars.
Emails from people that say there's other mixed martial arts organizations out there. And I understand
and there
that.
Are.
But the UFC is primarily, the cream of the crop of the sport. And they're distinct and they're clear. And Dana White has done a great job promoting them and promoting the personalities therein. And it's a well-run organization. They should take a tip from that. Because boxing's a great sport, and there's no reason the two can't coexist. Some people say, oh, boxing's old-fashioned and doesn't matter anymore. I beg to differ. It's a very different sport with a very different set of skills that are necessary to be great in it. And there are some great fighters, but they're just not getting the exposure.
Here's what I know about Don King, is that I'm not interested in all that boxing anymore after UFC, and I'm going to want to watch the fight after we talk to him.
That's how good
power,
he is.
That's the kind of power he has.
All right. Enough about that. Let's talk about show business. Billy Bob Thornton.
Golden Globe winner?
Golden Globe winner. Didn't say anything because he didn't want to get into trouble. He was interviewed recently, and they asked him to play a game of Who'd You Rather. And it turns out that his lifelong goal, he said, has been to sleep with Jennifer Aniston.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Has he... tried to follow up on that?
Out of everybody? Yeah, I bet he probably could have if he wanted to at some point. I think she's got a very serious boyfriend now, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
He had a shot.
Yeah, she certainly has been single for certain stretches of time.
Yeah.
Huh.
You guys familiar with the 1951 classic Alfred Hitchcock film Strangers on a Train?
Yes.
Great premise. It's about two strangers, Kevin, who randomly meet on a train. They're commuting. And they start a conversation. It turns out they each have someone in their lives that they want killed. So they agree to kill the other person for that person.
So you kill my friend, I kill your friend.
Right. And they have no connection what together other than the fact that they met on this train. They have no connection. So there's no way that anyone could track down
interesting
the killer through relationships.
Yeah, they got no
way.
Motive at all.
Complete strangers to each other, able to take care of each other's problems for each other. And give the other guy the perfect alibi. Problem is only one guy goes through with it.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
Go! I'm on the phone going, okay, on three?
I didn't know you were serious! Anyway, it looks like they're going to reboot that film, this time re-teaming Ben Affleck and David Fincher, who teamed up for Gone Girl. They're going to reboot the classic, this time about two strangers meeting on a plane. They're going to update it a little bit because no one takes a train anymore.
Yeah.
But still a great premise. Could be a great film. I think there's a movie that would be well-served by a remake. This would be one.
I like it.
David Fincher's the man, right?
He's
the man. Yeah.
He's pretty terrific. And are you familiar with Undercover Boss?
Sure.
The producers of that show are developing a new reality series. Made me think of it because the conversation you guys had about the guy getting fired on the first day.
Yeah.
This new reality series is called Job or No Job.
I like it.
And it follows people through interviews designed to get them a job, and then you get to see whether they get it or not. Have we been reduced now to this in a reality show? We follow someone in a job interview and see if they get job or no job.
I feel like that's one step above Gladiator. It might be near the end
time. We're going to follow people in a restaurant and say, dessert or no dessert? Oh, I can't wait to see what happens at the end of the meal.
Pay the bill or skip out.
Stop it.
Ralph, do you remember a number of years ago, and I think your friend Lorenzo Lamas was, what's his name? Lorenzo Lamas was
Lamas?
The host. Hot or Not.
Oh, yeah.
That was the show.
That was the best.
Where they just laser pointed
your thighs.
You voted whether
right
they were
here.
Hot.
They used to laser pointer on people's bodies.
Yeah, it was cruel beyond
it was
imagination.
Rough.
Yeah.
That was the show. So I got to tell you, job or no job seems like a step forward to me.
I think it just sounds so deadly dull.
It does.
We have to wait and see whether he starts cooking burgers at McDonald's or not. Job or no job. We'll return.
He's burned 19 burgers. Will he burn the 20th?
Let's get mugs on job or no job.
Let's just get him on no job.
How dare you?
Speaking of Lorenzo Lamas, my good friend, we need to get him on because you guys aren't watching The Celebrity Apprentice, but I've been watching it. It's just
is
so
it spectacular?
Good this year. Geraldo Rivera is the biggest dick walking.
Really?
I wouldn't have guessed that.
I like him.
You wouldn't if you
watched
the show.
I don't know anything about him, but I like him.
If you watch the show, you would not like him.
I like that you don't know anything about him, but you like him. That's weird.
I love that you're basing it on absolutely
it's
nothing.
A little strange.
On
well, I'm sorry
balls.
To hear that. But I will tell you that That show, Celebrity Apprentice, turned me, a lifelong Dionne Warwick fan, into a full-time Dionne Warwick hater as a result of how despicable she was
on that
program.
That's your full-time job.
Man,
now.
Man.
That's
all I do now is Dionne Warwick. So, I mean, sometimes you spend a little time with those people on Celebrity Apprentice, and it does change your opinion of them.
You see Bean getting off the air at 10 o'clock, just starts throwing darts at his Dionne Warwick poster.
Gets on the phone. You know who I hate? Dionne Warwick.
And I write letters and try to get her shows canceled, and I just call into radio stations and beg them not to play her music. I just do everything I can to make her life miserable.
Dionne Warwick hater.
I hate that bitch.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Let's talk to Lorenzo Lamas.
Let's talk to Lamas.
Guys, I'm not good. All right.
All right.
His name is Lamas.
Grant Gustin, Barry Allen on The Flash, is 25 years old today. Actor Zach Guilford turns 33. Caleb Followill, also 33. Jason Bateman's 46, as is Foo Fighters frontman Dave Grohl. LL Cool J is 47. Steven Soderbergh's 52. And our good friend, security guard here at the studios at K-Rock, but also, more importantly, one of the architects of rock and roll, Charles Conner, drummer for Little Richard, back in the day when wop bop a loo bop a wop bam boom actually meant something. He's 80 years old today.
Let's talk to him today on the show, Ralph.
We will. We're going to do it here, but it was a short Showbiz Beat. We really didn't have time, so we will do it in the next hour. Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this for a long time. One of the most entertaining men we have ever met in our life, and one of the greatest boxing promoter ever. Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Larry Holmes, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield. You name them, this man has made money off of them, and he's going to tell you why there's a fight this weekend you can't miss on Showtime. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Don King, back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you so very, very much, and it's great to be on K-Rock with Kevin and Bean.
Don. Let me start with, I've sort of been sidetracked by the UFC, and I've lost track of boxing. And I see both of these names that are fighting, and I have no idea about them.
Well, you will. You know, this is going to be a terrific fight here on Saturday night, and it's the first time that a heavyweight fight for the championship has been in America, I think, around 10 years. And so it's going to be provocatively effective because one of these guys is 32 fights. He got 32 wins and all by knockout. So his name is Deontay Wilder. He is the challenger. The champion is Berman Stiverne. He's a young man that's been with me for maybe 12 years, 14 years, and he grew by his work, his hard work, dedication, and commitment in the pursuit of excellence. He's now the champion of the world for the WBC, and he will be defending his crown. So it's going to be really exciting again, and we're going to return to glory to give the people something that they want to see and become addicted to. If this guy continues to win, he is the Tyson of the day. So they have to find that out, and they will see it live and in living color on the scene if they can get here to Las Vegas at the Grand, MGM Grand. But if they can't, check it out on the screen and see it on Showtime on Saturday night.
These fighters have a 95% combined knockout rate, and I am told that they have a serious beef. This is not just another day at the office. These guys genuinely dislike each other. How come, Don?
Well, you know, it's something here that this is the 40th anniversary of Muhammad Ali and George Foreman in a rumble in the jungle. All right? Now, George Foreman had a beef with Muhammad Ali because he thought that he talked too much.
Right.
And this fight was made on that note that George didn't want to fight Muhammad because he said he's old, and if I beat him, people say I'm gonna beat an old man, and he said, if I hurt him, then they're gonna say I'm a no good guy because I hurt one of their heroes. He said so. And then he talks too much. I said, that's it, George. That's what we do. Let's shut his mouth. Well, that's the similarity is so fantastically the same. Because, as you know, Berman does not talk a lot. He said, don't blink, you know, he's going in at a fight. Now, this other guy is very loquacious. He just talks and talks and talks and talks, and Berman just can't stand it. So he's in there to shut his mouth. And so can he do it? We will find out on Saturday night, and it's going to be provocatively beautiful.
Explain provocatively beautiful.
Oh, man, that means you get provoked, you get excited, you know what I mean? You don't know what to do. It's almost like when you see the love of your life, you know what I mean? She just provokes all type of passions and emotion, you know what I mean, to you, you know what I mean? And you look at it and see the beauty of the Lord standing there before you. You just don't know what to do with yourself. You become discombobulated.
All right. Why hasn't there been a heavyweight championship fight in the United States in 10 years?
Well, because the fighters that won the title was the Klitschko brothers, and they decided that they didn't want to make it a world title. They wanted to make it a German title. And so they stayed in Germany all the time, and Europe at best, to go into any type of expansion. And so, therefore, we never seen the title anymore, and these boys were quite good fighters. But nobody would know who they are because they didn't do any type of promotion here. They would do their promotion in Germany, and so they wasn't a people's champion. And so this is what I want with Berman. I want to make him a people's champion. I mean, be able to, you know, work with the people, inspire and motivate the kids in under dire stress and circumstances to say, yes, you can, when everyone else says, no, you can't. To be able to see people visit this our troops, you cannot be remiss. And the vanguard of our nation and these great military men and women who are out there putting themselves in harm's way to defend our liberties and freedoms, you must always recognize and appreciate them, the veterans in this country. So it's a thing there. Visit the bases, go to their hospitals, see what they are, and then when you fight, give them the cause, the reason why they should support you so it becomes their fight. So he wants to become a people's champion, and that we're going to do because I think he's terrific, and we'll see whether that prognostication can become a reality on Saturday night at the MGM Grand, and it's going to be terrific. I can tell you, K-Rock fans, reach out and touch someone. Those who are not listening this morning, let them know. Let's say you have just heard Don King on K-Rock with Kevin and Bean. And nothing, you know, he has so many points that we have. Let's find out whether he's telling a lie, we'll make the lie come true, or he's just excited and just you know, going out propagandizing about a great coming. I think it's going to happen on MGM Grand, and it's something that, as we say in the vernacular of the ghetto, SKD, something kind of different.
Ladies and gentlemen,
all right.
I could listen to this man all day long. Don, last question, because we're out of time, unfortunately. You have spent a lifetime promoting the great sport of boxing. Are you a little sad that it is not held in the estimation that it once was? I mean, 70, 80 years ago in this country, 100,000 people would show up for a boxing match. Now it's hard for the average man on the street to name a champion. Does that bother you, Don?
Yes, it does. It does because, you know, we broke down the barrier to open up the doors to other sports. I applaud that because there were so many different barriers that were there and still exist, but they're not as nearly as pronounced as they were at that particular time. But the fighters themselves has got to dedicate themselves in the pursuit of excellence, as Ollie Foreman, Larry Holmes, the great Larry Holmes, all of them fighting because they want to know what network they're going to be on, how much money they're going to get. When you should be a return to glory, you fight for the glory. The money comes simultaneously. You don't have to deal with what you're going to get paid because you're going to have the support of the people. And that demand, that support gives us a demand to make certain that you do get the money because people will come to see you. Networks will want to bid on you rather than just be able to plead to beg them to put it on TV. So it makes a big difference, but you know you got to have the promoters that will promote. I'm a promoter of the people, by the people, and for the people, and my magic lies and my people ties. The people are the ultimate winners here with me. I want you to be able to say, when is the next one? And that means that you have provoked a type of an excitement within them that they were so great that they want to know when can they come back again and get that same type of feeling again of seeing great competition. And this is what they have done. So we kind of, the people that were promoting, they kind of dropped the ball. You know what I mean? They're not giving the people what they want. They're just putting on something in order to earn a couple of dollars, you know what I mean? But they're not really substantiating the fabric of this sport. One man, you know, you can't call time out and send in a substitute. If you run out of gas, you can't, ain't no gas station in sight. You have to deal with your problem that's before you extemporaneously, you know what I mean? And you must do it with adroit awareness, you know what I mean? So it's a thing that you got to be able to deal with. So we're going to bring it back. That's why I call it return to glory. We're back in the land of where the old glory, may she ever wave, and we're going to be indicative, their performance will be indicative of what it takes, the essence of fighting, you know what I mean, to be able to demonstrate superiority in the fight game and to be able to deal with it, but at the same time have the humility to be with the people and supporting the people so they can vicariously absorb their problems in your performance. You know what I mean? So I'm just excited about having an opportunity.
Saturday night, MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Stiverne versus Wilder. If you can't be there in person, see it on Showtime starting at 10 o'clock. The great Don King, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. And let me say one thing before we go, that Kurt Kerkorian is the man who started with me. I had one of the men, him and of the guy at Caesar's Palace, but Kurt Kerkorian owns the MGM at them, and he's now 96. He's in Los Angeles, and I just want to salute him because he's a terrific guy, a great American, a terrific businessman, and a true friend. So, K-Rock, roll on, you know what I mean? You got it there with Kevin and Bean. It's the only place to be if you're listening to radio. K-Rock.
USA! Thanks, Todd. We love you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Mugs, what do you know about the migration of geese?
Come on. That's a reasonable question.
That just happened off the air. He asked Mugs what he knows about the migration of geese.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. We're going to be talking to actor Jay Baruchel in a couple of minutes here about his new show debuting on FX. Look, here...
And then Muggs says, they go south?
Right. And that's what I say. Look, this is a reasonable question. I'm looking out my window right now, and my geese that left for the winter a couple of months ago are back, and that's concerning to me.
My geese have come back. I'm really worried.
Oh, listen. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Those were my geese.
Right. I'm trusting you on the story.
They were my geese
literally
right there.
You didn't hear it.
Okay.
Imagine my shock when I saw that. I don't like it.
I don't. Look, isn't there supposed to be some sort of balance in nature? Don't you feel like the whole world is going crazy when you start hearing about, like, the polar ice caps melting and stuff? Why would geese fly back to...
Who gives a crap?
I give a crap.
Why don't you just look and go, oh, geese.
Because there's got to be some reason why geese that fly south for the winter are suddenly back in the northwest where it's supposed to be cold in the winter, although it's not cold. It's 50-something degrees right now in January, which is freakish. But how would they know that? They should be on a beach in Mexico right now.
How is this of concern to
you? Because the world is bigger than just what's going on your iPad in front of you, Kevin. Because sometimes you look around and you go, what's working? What's not? What's changing?
What are you going to do about the fact that the geese came back early?
Well, I'm just
going to contact somebody.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter.
Is there a commissioner of geese?
No.
Are you going to let them know that they left early?
I'm just concerned.
Who gives a crap?
I'm reporting them from being away from their station. No, I'm just concerned because I fear that it has something to do with some sort of climate change, and it's a bellwether. Bad news.
What?
That's what I'm afraid of.
What if the geese just came back? That's it.
But look, here my whole thing, and we don't have any time because we got a guest coming up, but here my whole thing. For thousands of years, if geese have been flying from this latitude in the wintertime down to your latitude and then coming back in the spring, isn't it a question mark if all of a sudden in the middle of January they return? Doesn't that make you go, what's up with that?
No. Honestly, it doesn't. Honestly, I look and go, I'm a geese. And then I do whatever's next.
I'm concerned.
I'm bored.
Jay Baruchel is on the phone. He is the star of Man Seeking Woman, which is very funny, debuting tonight on FXX at 10:30. Jay was part of that How to Train Your Dragon 2 that just won a Golden Globe over the weekend. Jay, do you get a piece of that when a movie wins a Golden Globe for Best Animated Movie? Do you get like a tiny little Golden Globe statue of your own as being a voice actor in it?
I think they file off. I get some Golden Globe shaving.
Just some shaving.
That's nice.
They put them in a little pill bottle. Like when they're extracting shrapnel from a crime scene.
That's smart. Now, did you get to go to the ceremony because of that movie?
No, I didn't. Which honestly suits me just fine. I wear a suit about as often as I absolutely need to, so I was more than content watching it in my living room.
Yeah, we're totally down with you on that. Well, it's great to have you on the program. Of course, we've been fans of yours for a long time. We've seen
Thank you
in a million things. Is this the first time you have starred in a TV show?
No, it isn't, but it's the first time in a long while. One of the sort of gigs that brought me down to the States in the first place was a TV show we did called Undeclared back when I was
of course,
18.
Of course.
It's been a while, but yeah, I'm as proud of this thing as I've ever been of anything I've been a part of. It's really, really crazy, and I just can't believe it finally comes out tonight.
It is really, really crazy. Look, if you knew nothing else about this but saw that Eric Andre was your co-star, that would be the tip-off, right?
Indeed, yeah. No, where there's smoke, there's fire. So where there's Andre, there's craziness. Yeah, he's a fearless lunatic, and I think our show is perfect for him.
He sort of plays the guy that can just get women just because he's who he is, and you sort of play the opposite, where you really want to figure it out, but you just absolutely can't.
Yeah, there's just like this secret formula to confidence that my character spends his entire life trying to understand, and then Eric's character Mike just shows up and, you know, with a bare minimum of effort and just yields much better result for him. And he's always constantly filling my head with really terrible advice.
Well, it's advice that he could use and get a woman with, but you can't.
That's pretty. Yeah, I more or less, and. And he just talks so bloody crass, and my character, listen, he values people for who they are.
Yeah, he comes up with some very creative euphemisms for vaginas in the first episode, too. I could just tell you that. Jay, let me ask you this, and I in no way mean this to be an insulting question, because I am a fan of yours.
An insulting question always follows
no,
that.
No, come on. You're obviously an accomplished actor, and you obviously have a great deal of confidence to be able to do what you do as successfully as you have. But do you feel like your looks have gotten you a million roles where you play the guy who's on the other side of that confidence, the guy who's, you know, the kind of a loner loser?
Yeah, I mean, it's either my looks or my voice, you know, take your pick. So it's also just my wispy demeanor, I suppose. I don't know. I think I look pretty earnest on average, and I think I think people, I become the spirit animal if people getting their asses kicked.
We're talking to Jay Baruchel about a show that debuts tonight called Man Seeking Woman, and it is different from anything else on television. I mean, it really has some surreal elements to it. How have you been describing it to people, Jay?
With great difficulty, but it's basically the best I can do is to say it's like this cartoon come to life. It's this strange punk rock fever dream, and it's weird because as crazy and surreal as it gets, it also gets incredibly small and very real and intimate. And I think these two kind of forms play against each other, and the show is better for it. So like it's going to be incredibly truthful while being super weird and pretty messed up.
Yeah, it's the most Adult Swim thing that's not on Adult Swim. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
It is. It's funny. I've seen two episodes. Bean has seen one. What are the guys on that write this? What do you think they're smoking?
I think it's probably crushed up Xanax smoked through a tin foil pipe.
Okay, good.
Because reading is for losers, Jay, we did not read the book of short stories, The Last Girlfriend on Earth, that the series is based on. What's this Simon Rich's deal? What's he all about?
Well, he's real tiny, and he always wears suspenders. And
All right.
And he's an adorable little character, and just like an actual, you know, the word genius seems to be thrown around a lot, but it rarely applies. But it actually does apply to Simon. That book of short stories, I inhaled that. I read that in about two afternoons, and it was like one of the funniest things I'd read in any medium. So I was just like, you know, quite excited, but also incredibly curious to see how we would go about making this into a TV show.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, because he can write the most fantastical thing in the world that involves anything that can be imagined and typed, and then you have the task of trying to actually make it happen for television that we can all see. That's tough.
Yes.
Oh, that old story.
Yep. Again?
Chestnut. Again? Yeah, I know. If I had a dime.
Let me play a clip. We're trying to bring clips back on the radio, Jay. I don't know if it's working or not.
I appreciate it.
This is from Man Seeking Women. This is a scene where Jay, as we've established, is a single guy who's just looking for love, and his sister is trying to set him up with somebody. That somebody happens to be an actual troll.
You said she was from Sweden?
She was born in the Scandinavian forest.
Right.
She moved here last year so she could run her nonprofit and live underneath the Wabash Bridge.
Does that mean she's a troll?
I'm sorry, is that a problem?
No. Just, just drinking antifreeze. Okay, cool. No, I'm saying, she might not be my type.
Joshua, want to have a little look at yourself moment?
No, this
Do you go to the gym?
Nope.
Do you have a job?
Yeah, I'm a temp.
Okay, well, how does that sound to a lady?
Man Seeking Woman is the show. The series premiere is tonight and every Wednesday night at 10:30 on FXX. Jay, I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you, man. Let's do it again.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
Do they cast you in these roles a lot because you're ugly?
Does your lack of attractiveness affect your workload at all? Not to be insulting, Jay Baruchel, but your hideousness must hinder you in some way.
I wasn't saying that. I was just saying, I bet he gets... Look, it was fine. It worked out fine. I was just saying, I bet he gets typecast for certain kinds of characters because of what he looks like, but obviously he's not like that in real life.
He's not dead.
It's a reasonable question.
He's not dead.
Not to be insulting, but...
Jay, do you know anything about the geese?
I should have asked. He's Canadian. I should have asked him about the geese. He would know.
You think because the geese aren't very attractive, they don't go where they're supposed to go in winter?
Come on, you guys. I'm doing the best I can.
I find that hard to believe.
Hey, Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla joins us for This Week in Rage coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, this is what's going on. Naya Rivera from Glee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. She was on The View this week. And she had some very specific feelings about white people.
Okay.
You know, it's one of the problems with us.
Is?
My Caucasian brothers. Too clean.
Too clean.
All that showering that we do.
Is that a negative?
I have a theory about showering.
Which is,
I think that white people shower a lot more than ethnic.
Really?
I feel like showering more than once a day or every day is such a white people thing. A dermatologist says that you are only supposed to shower once or twice every 3 days. So I'm right on the mark.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody!
I don't think...
It's going down! It's going down!
I don't think...
Come on!
No, race war! I don't think it's a race war. It's just Naya Rivera thinks white people shower too much.
Now, Ralph, if you went on television and said that Hispanic people or Latin people don't shower enough, you'd be drummed out of town, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference between that comment and hers?
White people are game for any jokes.
Yeah, I think because we've been running things for a long time, for a couple hundred years, so we just got to take our lumps now, I think.
Knock around right. a bit. It's
yeah,
right.
I think we'll be all right. I think we'll still be all right.
I'm good with the amount of showers that I take, which is at least once a day.
At least once a day. Kevin is usually a multi-showerer.
Maybe. Depends.
I think Naya's talking about you, and specifically Whitey. You're the problem.
I'm very white.
With
I
all
like
your
that.
Showering.
Does she say anything about how many different pairs of underwear a day a guy might wear?
She doesn't mention that.
Yeah, there's Kevin again.
How dare you.
Naya says she is married to Ryan Dorsey. He's a white guy, and he showers all the time. And she's like, dude, what are you doing with all that showering?
How could you see that as a negative? I would think only
The cleanliness. I can't bear that fresh smell any longer.
I think only the opposite would be a problem. If
I
you
would
don't
think so,
shower
too.
Enough.
Yeah. And while we're starting race wars... Mike Huckabee, he's the man. He is the man.
Mike Huckabee.
He's a former governor of...
Arkansas.
Arkansas, who ran for president.
That's right.
Okay.
And he's got... he had his own show there on Fox for a while. I don't know if he still does or not. Born again guy.
Okay. Yeah, super Christian.
Got a new book out called God and Their Parenting Skills.
He's very upset with Obama's parenting.
It's not the politics he's complaining about, it's them as parents?
They're parents.
But by all accounts, the girls are doing great, right?
Yeah, well, he says the Obamas are excellent and exemplary parents in many ways, but they fall down in one important area.
Which is what?
They allow their 16-year-old daughter Malia and 13-year-old daughter Sasha to listen to Beyonce.
What?
They allow the girls to listen to Beyonce.
Right, but... And that's why they're bad parents?
They don't see anything that might not be suitable for either a preteen or a teen in some of the lyrical content and choreography of Beyonce. Beyonce's lyrics are obnoxious and toxic mental poison. Her husband, Jay-Z, is a pimp who exploits his wife.
Dude.
Dude, indeed.
Harsh words.
Dude.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a teenager in America who doesn't listen to Beyonce.
Well, Mike Huckabee thinks they all should be listening to John Denver.
I don't know. She didn't say that,
no,
did he?
I don't know who he should be listening to. But Beyonce.
Oh!
Ruining life.
Pornography!
Right now.
Seems to me that putting the ring on it is a pretty good message for young women. What,
but where are they putting the ring?
Oh, there you go.
And what kind of ring is it? Pornography for the ears! That filthy, filthy Beyonce and her pimp husband.
That's a weird stance to take.
Shut up, Mike Huckabee, please. Oh, for God's sake, please, just shut up.
And by the way, calling her husband, you know, fellow artist, a pimp.
Yeah, I know.
For promoting her music. That's even taking it another step.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant mother like you.
Said the president.
That's shocking.
It's
I don't
stupid.
Know why, but it is.
It's yeah, but should we be shocked that he's stupid?
No, I guess. But it just seems
he's got a book out. Let me tell you once again the title of the book: God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy.
Yeah. Yep.
Four things that can kill you should be the subtitle of that book.
Well, maybe he and his friend Sarah Palin will run for president together.
Wouldn't that be the best?
You're talking out of your ass, dummy.
Let's talk about celebrity birthdays. Grant Gustin, who's Barry Allen on The Flash, is 25 years old today. Caleb Folliwell from Kings of Leon turns 33. Actor Zach Guilford, also 33. A couple of 46-year-olds today. Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters and Jason Bateman, one of my favorite actors. LL Cool J is 47. Director Steven Soderbergh turns 52 years old today. And one of the architects of rock and roll, the man who gave us the backbeat back in the day when Little Richard and Chuck Berry and Elvis were rocking the charts and teaching America what rock and roll was all about. This guy created rock and roll.
That's true.
And now he's keeping us safe here at K-Rock Studios. Our security guard, our good friend, Mr. Charles Connor, celebrates his 80th birthday today. Charles!
Hey, what's happening, my man?
How are you, sir? Happy birthday. We just wanted to give you a call out there in the guard booth and say hi and wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm keeping it funky and juicy and keeping you guys safe.
We
expect you to keep it funky and juicy.
By the way, don't you feel that at 80 years old, Charles is still more qualified to keep this building safe than any of us?
Absolutely.
Wait, Charles,
you're 80?
80 years old, my man.
What?
You do look about 60, Charles. I know the expression is black don't crack, but you look incredible for your age, sir.
Thank you, very, very kind of you.
I'm curious, how much of a hand do you still have in music today? Are you still able to play drums quite a bit, Chuck?
Oh, man, I'm still playing and everything. What I'm doing, you know, I did a PBS documentary about 6 months ago in the Red Bull Stadium back there. And I have I signed a contract for Waldorf Publishing Company, a book. I have a book coming out in August, and it's all about the good thing, the rock and roll, the drugs, the Jim Crow, the drinks, the women, and all that.
I got to tell you, I have spent hours talking to Charles about the old days when he was touring with Little Richard. It is fascinating, and you're going to want this book.
Yes, get Charles on the topic about his roommate, James Brown, sometime if you really want to hear some stories.
Really, but another thing I have coming, and it's confirmed already, next month, the BBC going to come and film me for a music documentary about legendary musician.
Ah, that's great. Fun.
And then Germany going to do something for me, too. I don't know if they want me to go over there or to come over here. Whatever.
You stay here. Why don't you stay here?
I'm working, you know.
Charles, what is the secret of being in such great shape and being so healthy and so happy and having such a great attitude at 80 years old?
Put the drinking, the drugs, and all that stuff down when you're a certain age. I stopped drinking about 37 years old and that fast life and everything. And I found out the secret of life. I said, man, if I be in this movie with Little Richard, I can do this. Or if I go to France, I can do this. Or if I go to England, if I go to the Philippines, I can do this. But I found out, I thought those things would make me happy. But those things, I wasn't happy with those things, but I finally found peace of mind.
And what was it you replaced to those things within your life that has made you so happy?
Well, I don't have to travel that much and stuff like that. And I put on the drugs and the drinking and all that jazz. And I can do things of my own and everything like that. I can create things and stuff like that.
Boring.
Did you settle down with one woman, Chuck?
Yes, right now I'm still on One Woman.
Right now?
All right, okay.
One Woman Man now.
Okay.
Right now. It's not right. 4 or 5 different women today now.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, you are not anymore.
Yeah, you are 80. I mean, that's reasonable, I guess.
Yeah,
okay.
Man, I got to slow it down, my man. You know?
Well,
But don't ever give up sex.
No.
Don't ever give up sex.
Keep it juicy.
You're too funky juicy.
We admire you as a professional, and we treasure you as a friend, and we just wanted to give you this public happy birthday, Charles, and wish you 80 more.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
Bye now.
It's funny, you watch out there. You walk by Charles, and he's out there with the practice pad, the drum practice pad, and he's got his sticks, and he's doing his paradiddles and everything. He practices every day, still at 80 years old.
Yeah.
And he's one of the best drummers in rock history, and he's still at it. So
last time I got in a conversation with Charles, Ralph came outside about an hour and a half later, and he went, "You left an hour and a half ago."
Yeah.
Nope. Talking
Kevin
to
would
Charles.
Just sit there with his eyes, his hand on his chin, just eyes wide. So.
But you don't just tell Charles that all of his stories are stupid and dumb and absurd because they happened in the 50s and 60s?
He's awesome.
That's true, Kevin. His stuff happened in the
last... Like, why do you care about any story that happened before, 2008?
And usually allow people to talk about. I'm surprised.
I don't know. I love him.
Yeah. But when you do talk to Charles, you realize that all the stuff you hear about the sex, drugs, and rock and roll with all the bands now and everything, these guys did not invent this lifestyle.
No.
It started way back in the day. Probably musicians always did. Mozart was probably like banging girls and doing blow and stuff and everything, destroying his hotel rooms. Just didn't know about it then, that's all.
Yep, I think you're right.
Happy birthday to Charles Conner, 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about that Anna Seha, by the way, from Roland Heights? She is just qualified for an awesome world tour destination number one here at K-Rock, which is tickets for this year's Coachella and a chance to see any band playing Coachella anywhere in the world. We'll do that for you again at noon, 3, 6, and 9 today. All the details at krock.com. Hey, if you're going to Las Vegas, you know, we had Don King on last hour talking about the big fight that's going to be on Showtime. Even better to see at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas on Saturday night. Why not make a full evening of it? Because Adam Carolla is going to be at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas Saturday night, signing Mangria bottles in the fuel retail store in the Hard Rock Casino at 5:30. Then the Adam Carolla Show on stage with Penn Jillette at 7. And then at 9:30, the Adam Carolla Show podcast on stage with Jeff Dunham. All that's happening, and the Ace Man joins us about this time every week for a feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at number 3, work my way on up to number 1. First, celebrity observations. Watching Michael Keaton take home the Golden Globe up there, I realize he gets a lot of benefit because Michael Keaton, even when he's not saying anything particularly interesting, looks like he's thinking about something super smart. Doesn't he look like he's always thinking about something smart?
I mean, he does seem like a very bright guy.
Yeah, but even when he's not talking, he's just standing there babbling on about his son, who I thought had leukemia, by the way. Turns out he's 31 and fine. But either way, he just looks like he's smart. I realize he gets bonus points for looking like he knows what he's doing. And then I started thinking about other celebrities, and I realized Katy Perry always looks like she's thinking about something dumb.
How dare you?
I think Michael Keaton stole Katy Perry's thoughts.
That's a reasonable theory, Ace.
If you just put both of them next to each other and said, say nothing, just stare into this lens, you'd go, well, the dude on the right is clearly smarter, and obviously he's taken whatever was inside of her hollow head.
You know, it is true that there are, and I think about this with dogs sometimes, you can look at some dogs and tell that they're really, really smart, and if they could talk, they could blow you away. And then other dogs you can tell are just dumb as the wall they're standing in front of. I think maybe you're right that it works that way with people, too.
Right, except where all dogs are dumb, some are just less dumb. But no. Thank you, Bean. I appreciate that. Also, in terms of celebrities, I've had an impacted ass full of this Bieber kid, right? We're all tired of him.
Right. Absolutely.
How about this? How about one of those prisoner exchange programs like we do with ISIS every once in a while or whoever, you know what I mean?
I don't think we do that, but go ahead.
All right, but the point is, look, you got a journalist or two we want. We got a couple shoe bombers. Here you go. All I'm saying is we're tired of the Biebs over here getting drunk at our nightclubs and banging our women and going out. We're tired of hearing about the guy. I'm just saying, Canada, you don't have anybody we want. You know, it's not like some national treasure from the United States decided to set up camp in Canada. But here's what I'm going to offer you, Canada.
you take the Biebs back, and we'll give you back Martin Short and Seth Rogen. Does that sound fair?
I don't
want to lose Short or Rogen. Don't get me wrong. I don't either. But I'd like to get the Biebs out of here, and there's no way they're taking him with, you know, just me and you.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Could Rogen and Short make their way back across the border?
I say we send them back with Bieber in a package.
Okay.
We got to give up on Rogen and Short.
I love
him. We never have to hear about the Biebs again.
No, wow.
That's a tough call, but I think if I thought about it, I think I'd go with it. I think it would be worth it just to get rid of Bieber.
Okay, because look, Short's got a couple of movies left into him, and Rogan's going to get killed by a Korean. I mean, come on.
Their best work is behind him, right?
Let's be practical about this. All right. Social change, number two. This is huge. I mean it. I had an epiphany the other day. My wife was in Phoenix. I was sitting in the den. It was 10 o'clock. I was drinking. I was watching Point Break, and I had a breakthrough, a serious social breakthrough.
Okay.
I walked into the kitchen to freshen up my goblet. There was my Guatemalan nanny doing homework with my son. 10 o'clock at night. He's eight, and she's doing homework at 10 o'clock at night with an eight-year-old. And I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, I'm going to go in the other room and get drunk. My wife's in Phoenix screwing around with her girlfriends. And I thought, wait a minute. This is the problem. This is why we have so much social inequality. This is how the school-to-prison pipeline was built. It's homework. Whitey can afford someone to do homework with the kids they don't care about. My kid would not be doing homework. Look, all right.
You don't care about your son.
Yes, you're single. Well, what I'm saying is, single mother of five with three jobs. Can you do homework? Can you hire a nanny to do homework with your kid? Can you hire a tutor?
No.
No. Get rid of homework. Pow, equality.
Get rid of homework. Pow, equality.
We don't get a jump. We get rid of the whole social and the economic, because we're not home. You know how much homework Dr. Drew's kids have done in the last 18 years? 250 million hours.
Is that accurate? You've added it up?
Yes, I added it all up between the three of them.
That seems like a lot.
Right. And now they're off at some accredited university, creating an even bigger social gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Okay. So get rid of homework.
Get rid of homework, even the playing field.
See what happens if you drink alone at home? You come up with great ideas.
You have breakthroughs. Thank you. And number one, another breakthrough. We have a huge problem in this country. Obesity and online porn addiction. Super simple invention. The Spank Mill. It's a treadmill that just you get credits. You do 20 minutes on the Spank Mill. You get 20 minutes in front of the computer watching your favorite porn site. Pow. Two problems. Done.
Solved. See, he's got all the ideas. All you have to do is listen to him. Adam Carolla is going to be on stage in Las Vegas this weekend at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Again, signing the bottles of Mangria at 5:30. On stage with Penn Jillette at 7, 9:30 for Jeff Dunham. Tickets are available through adamcarolla.com. Just $40. And why the hell not? It's a long weekend this weekend. Why not go to Las Vegas and hang out with Adam Carolla? Thanks, Ace Man. We love you, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Whoa, wait. Hold on. Wait. That knocked me back on my heels. This is what year? Wow. Wow.
All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Boy, am I glad that was during a song.
That is wrong with you, Ralph.
That made me laugh.
Thank God for the white stripes.
That is wrong. Thank God the stripes are white. That's all I got to say.
Oh, man.
Somebody should get fired. Unfortunately, it gets all of us. Hey, time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on K-Rock for Wednesday morning. What's going on? What's new? What's happening? What's the latest?
Well, this is the latest and greatest news. Ann Curry from NBC News, she's leaving the network. I can't imagine why. They fired her off the Today Show 2 years ago.
Right.
And she's just been sitting home collecting her $12 million paycheck.
She's getting $12 million a year to do nothing?
Yes.
Now, she was the one who took over the slot on the Today Show, but didn't get along with Matt Lauer. There was no chemistry.
That was the
viewers
rumor.
Hated her or yes, something like that, right. And then she ended up just leaving. And she has not been shown anywhere, hasn't been doing anything, but just sitting at home cashing a paycheck?
Yep.
She doesn't have to. Wow. She was under contract. So they said, you're not going to be on Today Show. And she's like, all right, I won't. I'll just be over here. So her contract was up. She said, okay, I'll take the same deal again. They're like, no.
She wants the same deal? Yes. She wants to renew the...
wouldn't you?
yes. But I wouldn't have the balls to ask for it because it's insane.
Well, NBC balked at her asking to keep her amazing $12 million salary to do nothing. And they said, yeah, you might want to go check out some other opportunities.
I never had any... You know, I love the news. I never had any problem with Ann Curry. I thought she was fine on the news. I guess people just loved Meredith Vieira, and it was tough to replace her, but I had no problem with her.
I don't know the names of any of these people you're talking about.
Nah, I don't care about the news.
I don't recognize that. But I just
I don't know that I've ever watched the news.
said Kevin.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
also said Kevin. I was just stunned that you could make that kind of money not working. I would like.
That's unbelievable. Like that. How long? 2 years?
In that profession. Yes.
Wow. I'd be so fat.
Oh. Me too, and so drunk.
I had a
and so
friend
gambly.
Yeah, I'm gonna be in Vegas all the time. Yes.
I had a friend in the record business back in the day who got fired with almost 3 years left on his contract, full salary, almost 3 years.
Wow!
And he did not work, and he enjoyed it very, very much.
Oh, it's so sweet.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
It happened to Corolla. Remember when they used to have that talk radio station, FM talk station?
Yeah. Yes.
Before they flipped it and turned it into...
He was doing the morning show
something
there?
Something else. Yeah, he was doing the morning show, and Tom Likas was on there. It wasn't Frosty, Frankie, and Felicia, weren't they on there or whatever?
Yep. Those Frosty, Frankie, and Felicia, the three Fs, yeah.
But I think when they flipped that station, they all got paid out the remainder of their salary.
It's pretty sweet.
So I'm like, bye, yeah. K-Rock. Bye, K-Rock.
And what's that chick from the Brady Bunch doing now?
Susan Olsen.
That's right.
She was
Cindy
on
Brady.
Talk show as well. Hey, tomorrow the Oscar nominations are going to be announced, and that means today the Golden Raspberry Awards were announced. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Razzie Awards, it is for the worst in this year's crop of movies. Here are your nominees. Worst actor, Kirk Cameron for Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. Nicolas Cage for Left Behind.
Boy, they have a hard-on for the Christian movies, don't they?
Well, usually they're awful, so it just happens to work out that way. Kellen Lutz, The Legend of Hercules. Kevin saw Adam Sandler in Blended. And this one hurts. Seth MacFarlane, A Million Ways to Die in the West. That ain't right.
What's your guess as to how that movie made the Razzie cut?
I don't know. It's got a lot of nominations this year. I think somebody over there doesn't like him or like the Family Guy or something, or they think he's trying to do too much. It feels personal to me.
It does feel personal to me because I know, like I said, that movie got mixed reviews, but there was nobody that hated it.
No.
It was either to your taste or it wasn't.
Right.
There's nobody who thought it was a badly done movie.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand it. Worst supporting actor, Mel Gibson and Arnold Schwarzenegger each got a nomination for their work in Expendables 3, as did Kelsey Grammer. But also for his work in Legends of Oz, Think Like a Man 2, and Transformers Age of Extinction.
So everything he was in.
Everything he was in last year. Shaquille O'Neal for Blended. Didn't even know he was in Blended with Adam Sandler, but apparently he was. And Kiefer Sutherland in Pompeii. Worst actress in a movie, Drew Barrymore for Blended. Cameron Diaz for The Other Woman and Sex Tape. Melissa McCarthy for Tammy. Gail Weiss for The Legend of Hercules. And Charlize Theron again for A Million Ways to Die in the West. Come on.
Dumb.
Come on. Worst Supporting Actress, Cameron Diaz in Annie, Megan Fox for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Nicola Peltz for Transformers Age of Extinction, Susan Sarandon for Tammy, and Bridget Ridenour for Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. In Worst Picture category, Legend of Hercules, Saving Christmas, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Left Behind were your nominees. So.
Kevin, you said Tammy was the worst movie you saw last year?
Tammy was bad, but Melissa,
something coming from Kevin.
But Melissa McCarthy is always entertaining to watch.
Okay.
I agree. She's always funny.
There are actors like that.
This spy looks funny. I'm looking forward to that.
Her new one. That
trailer came out this week. Yeah, it looks good. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Grant Gustin, he plays Barry Allen, a.k.a. The Flash. Over there in the CW, he is 25 years old.
The King of Mexico would like me to remind you that he became famous as a warbler. He was on the singing competition, or the singing show Glee, for a couple of seasons.
Grant Gustin was?
The Flash was, yes.
Huh.
According to Dave.
I do not remember him from Glee, but then again, I don't watch Glee.
Right.
Zach Guilford's 33 years old. Caleb Followill is also 33. Jason Bateman turns 46, as does Dave Grohl. LL Cool J is 47. Steven Soderbergh, talented director, is 52 years old. And our good friend Charles Connor, security guard here at K-Rock, but at one time, the backbeat to Little Richard, one of the architects of rock and roll, celebrates his 80th birthday today. Happy birthday, Charles. We love you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. As you mentioned, the Oscar nominations are tomorrow.
Oscars!
From the LA Times, we have Glenn Whip on the program tomorrow, plus comedian Ari Shaffir in studio.
Is Glenn Whip good?
Not going to do it. UFC fighter Conor McGregor talking about his fight this weekend.
My last name is synonymous with warriors. They used to do it with a pickaxe. I do it in the ring.
He's awesome.
He really is awesome.
We'll talk sports with Jim Rome, and we've got Dr. Drew also Thursday morning on an all-new show.